This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the Red Sox are down to their final strike here in London. Nothing and two, the count to Christian Vasquez. And the Yankees sweep the Red Sox here in the UK. Starting to sound like the Bronx here at London Stadium.
Commiserations on the result, but congratulations and thanks for the event you've helped to put on. It's been fantastic. How would you sum up and describe this whole London experience?
Besides what happened on the field, outstanding.
I love that line.
Commiserations.
But besides what happened on the field, oh, you mean you enjoyed your trip to Buckingham Palace? Like, who gives a rat's ass?
Commiserations on the result, but...
Well, it was great to meet Meghan Markle. The Crown Jewels was a great trip. London Bridge to Tower Bridge. All of that was fabulous. The baseball, we got our asses kicked. It's a long way to travel to get your asses kicked like that, but we enjoyed it thoroughly.
Collective sympathy for the result on the field, but what a wonderful product.
Oh, my gosh. What an ass kicking that was in London. What an ass kicking. 617-779-0985. On the Baseball Reporters, we'll open up the phones right away because I know a lot of you have a lot to say, and rightfully so, on the Red Sox this weekend in New York. Let me just give you a couple of things here off the top that I think are important to touch on. Okay, again, they went to London. London! How many miles is that? It's like 5,000 miles?
Gotta be. Let me look.
It's going to be something close to that, right? It's 3,000 to the West Coast, and it's a longer trip going east. It's got to be like 5,000 miles. It's going to be pretty close. Let me know when you find it, Murray. Mm-hmm. I should have looked that up before we came on the air.
Oh, it's almost 3,300.
Oh, it feels longer. It must have something to do with the wind over the ocean, and it takes you 8 hours to come back, for crying out loud. So again, 617-779-0985. The Red Sox now, I had Cam, our intern, look this up this morning. The last time the Red Sox were 11 games out on July 1st. Anyone want to venture a guess? Jim Murray, Jimmy Stewart, anybody, Billy Lanny back there?
I know the answer because I saw the rundown for the Baseball Reporters.
Okay, so don't answer the question. Murray, how about you?
How about like 01?
97.
Okay.
97. And you know why 97 is a significant year?
You covered the team?
It was pre-Pedro. Pre-Pedro. You know, again, there was before and after Pedro, and he is a clear line of demarcation in Red Sox history. Pedro came in 98, Red Sox baseball changed forever. 97, they were a bad team that missed the playoffs. They finished with a losing record. Pedro came the next year. The last time the Red Sox were out, 11 out, on July 1, 1997. And that's where they are right now. Nonetheless, Alex Cora believes that they can still get to the World Series. He believes they can still win the World Series with their current roster as constituted. In fact, he had this very exchange with Peter Abraham of the Boston Globe yesterday following a 12-8 defeat to the Yankees, in which the Red Sox allowed nine runs in the seventh inning despite having a 4-2 lead. Here's that exchange.
Alex, you said the other day that you're not playing for the wild card, you're playing to win the World Series again. Do you think this team, as constituted right now, can win the World Series again?
Yeah, we can win the World Series.
Even with the bullpen?
We can win the World Series. We just need to play better. I know we need to get better in every aspect. You know, we can talk about the bullpen, but we can talk about the offense. We can talk about the defense or base running. We have the talent to win the World Series, but we have to play better. I've been saying it since day one. It better happen sooner rather than later, you know, because... It's not that we're running out of time, but, you know, the lead is huge. It's a huge lead, and there's other teams around us that are playing good baseball. They're trending up, and we're not doing that.
Yep, they're not doing it is right. 11 out of first place, fine. You know, why am I even talking about that anymore now that I think of it? The 11 out of first really doesn't matter. Two out of the wild card. Two out of the second wild card spot. Two games out. And the Red Sox think they're going to win the World Series with this roster? Ron in Texas, do you believe the Red Sox can win the World Series with this roster?
Honestly, at this point, after this weekend, no. But my problem doesn't lie with Dombrowski. The team is what the team is, and the record shows it. My problem lies with Anthony Cora. How many times every pitcher on this staff, even if we go 0-2, you see the same sequence, Tony. Slider away, 2 feet outside. Slider away, 2 feet outside. Let's throw the fastball 6 feet high. And we get into 3-2, and what do we have to do? We have to throw the meatball down the plate, and then we suffer consequences. Nobody goes after hitters on this team. Sale did it in the beginning of the year. The ERA showed for it. He got shelled. He started playing a little bit. He started pitching a little bit more aggressive towards the later end. And then his record started to improve. We have guys that do not go after hitters. We put ourselves in predictable counts, and then we sit there and we have to deal with the consequences.
Okay, so, Ron, let me stop you there only because I'll say this. I think that generally you're right. I hate the way they pitch, particularly out of the bullpen. But you know why they don't go after hitters? Because they can't. And this gets back to the stuff. Okay, Brandon Workman throws breaking ball after breaking ball after breaking ball. You know why? Because his fastball is 92 and it'll get absolutely pounded. Colton Brewer has a good curveball. You know why he throws it all the time? Because he can't command his fastball and he can't throw it for strikes. So he'll walk guys. Workman walks guys too, for that matter. Their bullpen is full of those guys. Curveball after curveball after curveball. You know what the Yankees batted? Now, this is sort of a separate topic, but do you know what the Yankees batted in the series over the weekend? 376. It was only two games. They hit 376, for crying out loud. Danny Lavangi was asked if there was any explanation for all the runs in the series. Here's what Lavangi said. Major League Baseball put on a good show here in London. A lot of scoring. Creates some really good fan interest. End quote. Again, I'm reading from the Boston Herald. Asked if there was any explanation for all the runs, Lavangi said, Major League Baseball put on a good show here in London. A lot of scoring creates some really good fan interest. What do you guys take out of that? Murray, Jimmy Stewart, what do you take out of that comment?
Well, for one, I think it's pretty obvious that he and I think probably all of the Red Sox collectively hated the experience and thought it was a waste of time, or at least set them back. And that something was afoot, maybe with the balls or with the mound or something, because with the way the ball was getting knocked around in that ballpark by the Yankees and the Red Sox as well, like, that seemed like a video game.
Okay, so I want to make something clear here, and again, this is sort of a secondary element from the series over the weekend, but Lavangi's not excusing the Red Sox performance. He was just asked about the runs. He wasn't asked, why did you give up runs?
Right, right.
Why weren't your pitchers effective? He just was asked overall about why the scoring, why so much scoring, and he said, Major League Baseball put on a good show. A lot of scoring creates some really good fan interest. Okay, so I'm not suggesting that Lavangi's making excuses for the pitching staff, because I don't think Lavangi is. I happen to agree with him that something was amiss in London, or as you would say, Murray, afoot. Okay, my guess is that they lowered the seams on the baseball, made it harder to throw a breaking ball, and therefore harder for the pitchers to command off-speed stuff. So you know what you had? A lot of fastballs in the middle of the plate, because guys couldn't throw breaking stuff for strikes. And John Smoltz made a comment during the game yesterday about how the fly balls to the outfield were knuckling. They were knuckling, which tells me the seams on the ball were different than what they're accustomed to playing with in the major leagues. The balls, I don't want to say that the balls were juiced, because the Yankees only won home run yesterday. It's not like the Yankees were belting home runs out of the ballpark. They were just pounding anything in the middle of the plate. And it's a bad team to do that against. Meanwhile, the Red Sox were doing the same thing. The Yankees weren't all that much better on the mound than the Red Sox were. So the bullpen's only part of the story here. Barry's in Somerville. Go ahead, Barry.
Well, I think the bullpen is the whole story of the whole season. I don't agree with that guy about Cora and Lavangi. We lost Kelly and Kimbrel and didn't replace them. We have 17 blown saves, more than any other team in the American League. And Dombrowski should be embarrassed and ashamed about the bullpen that he put together.
So, Barry, I agree with you. The general manager here has to take, or the president in this case, and Dave Dombrowski, has to take a lot of the heat. And you're right, the bullpen is the story of the season. the biggest story of the season. There are others. They weren't ready to go out of the gate. Certainly the starting pitching wasn't as good at the beginning of the year, which put more pressure on a bullpen that was not equipped to handle it. So again, think of the double-double there. The Red Sox backed off their starters and put more pressure on a bullpen that wasn't ready to handle it. What a mistake. What a colossal freaking mistake. And the manager, I shouldn't say the manager, the owner. We'll get to his comments in a minute, too. Lance is in Nashville. Go ahead, Lance.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. I watched every inning this weekend, and I thought overall the whole production was pretty cool, aside from the Red Sox performance. But this bullpen is going to be the death of them. Again and again, you could see it on Cora's face as he was watching the new guy come in. It was like, is this really what we're putting on the field? I felt for him. And then lastly, on the offensive outburst, I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a college baseball coach, and he had noticed that the backdrop was bigger. I don't know if you noticed in center field, the black backdrop was bigger than normal. And he was saying that the batters were able to get a good eye on the ball as it was coming in.
Yeah, Lance, it wasn't the backdrop. Okay, it wasn't the batter's eye, as they say, when they, you know, and again, they put a backdrop up at Fenway Park. They started doing that decades ago to help the hitters during the daytime. Fine. The one before was a night game. Remember, that was the 4 o'clock game here was a night game in London. It was a 1 o'clock game. 1 o'clock game on Saturday was a night game over there. So now it was hotter that day, and you can give me the temperature. You can give me the backdrop. You can give me the smaller dimensions, all of that. 376 batting average for the Yankees. And the Red Sox, too, the Yankees scored 29 runs in the series. Again, Cam, our intern here, did the research. Only twice since 1969 have the Red Sox had two consecutive days or games in which they've given up that many runs or more. Twice. One was in 2017, oddly enough. But this is a coincidence that both teams are belting the ball all over the ballpark like they were? Not a coincidence. Something was definitely up with the baseballs. Meanwhile, the owner of the Red Sox had some very interesting comments to make after his team's performance in London. We'll tell you what those were. We'll read them to you verbatim when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Have the Sox come. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Matt Ball!
You're rubbish!
Ryan Brazier!
Wanka!
You're a knob!
And those are the
pals. Boy, it's time to spin the wheel of dodgy twits! The Red Sox bullpen has gone to the dogs, but manager Alex Cora still has to figure out which wanker he can use in an high-leverage situation. So now let's spin the wheel!
Vaughn!
Brazier!
Unwin!
Wright!
Walden!
Walden!
Brewer!
Brazier!
Walden!
Walden!
And today's dodgy twit is...
That's absolutely warrant into the stands by D.D. Gregorius. Well, we've seen some stars this weekend, but I don't think any have shone as bright as he has. Whether it's been with a glove or been with a bat, he's been absolute box office. Solo shot, D.D. Gregorius, Yankees 12, Red Sox 4.
That's the British version.
It's a very entertaining way to call a baseball game.
Just a torrid batsman, D.D. Gregorius.
Seriously, you know what they should do is they should sub out the American announcers for the Brits. Yeah. That would have been a way more entertaining product, right? We never get that now that I think of it. That'd be a good way to do it, Murray. Box office. Oh, D.D. Gregorius. Of all the stars that have shined brightly. 617-779-0985. Before we get back to the calls and John Henry's comments, in all seriousness, I want to ask Jimmy Stewart this question, Jim Murray as well, okay? And let me just tell you, the TV ratings over the weekend were pretty good. I mean, you know, they were, and I'm really the wrong guy to assess this because I haven't been tracking them regularly, but the numbers were in the, you know, 8.5, 7.5, 8.5 area, 8.5 on Saturday. That was the 1 o'clock game. The other one was at 10 a.m. The number was, a 7-4, basically. Those are pretty good. I mean, those are pretty good for a team like the Red Sox that has been disappointing. So my question to you and Murray, I know you watched because I saw you active on Twitter, and I think a lot of people sort of checked in just to see what it was all about.
Yeah.
You know, what's the stadium look like? How's it playing? All of that. Like, there was a novelty to it that did draw me to the games. I'm not going to lie about that. Did you enjoy the games?
No, I did not. No, I thought they were, especially Saturday. I mean, I eventually checked out by, I think, the sixth inning, whatever the hell it was on Saturday. Like, you got to live a life. That game was like 5 hours on Saturday. I can't do it.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. They were down 17-6, I think it was, at one point. And I stopped watching, and then they had another six-run inning. Jimmy Stewart, did you watch it? Were you in? Let me rephrase. Did you like the games?
No, they were miserable. They were too long. It was like 58 minutes to get through six outs on the first game. It was 9 hours, Tony.
So I wonder whether...
I love baseball, but 9 hours, I can't. I have a life.
See, now look, again, it was different. So I didn't stay in for the whole games either. It was different. The game on Saturday got lopsided, so I checked out of that one. And then the game on Sunday was a 4-2 game. It was halfway decent until that absolute explosion in the seventh inning, and then I stopped watching then because I was mostly disgusted. But what I would caution people about, particularly those in London, not that they're listening, but that's not baseball. That's not what it is. We all know that's not what it is. Whatever MLB did to that ball to make it more hittable, and again, not necessarily in terms of home runs, just to make it more hittable. The dimensions of the ballpark you can relate to the home runs. But the Yankees only hit one homer yesterday, and they scored 12 runs. Okay, so again, it was harder to pitch. And maybe that has something to do with the tightness of the baseball, how slick it is. This was a common complaint in Colorado when they first started playing baseball out there. The seams being lower, creating less drag when the ball's in the air, making it harder to throw breaking pitches. Whatever it was harder to pitch. And that was a factor. Quickly, Tom and Haverhill on Sox Management. Go ahead, Tom.
Mads, what's going on? Just 2 points, actually. First, with the bullpen. I mean, at what point is someone going to step up and take the ball and not make excuses and just produce? You know, just getting frustrated and watching this day after day with the same result. But more back to the management. You know, they put the team in this position, and where are they at this point? Are they making any type of moves to improve this team? If they win half of these games at this point, they're in contention. So as a Sox fan, just getting frustrated, just curious to hear your thoughts.
Thanks, okay, man. Look, you have a right to be frustrated. You should be frustrated. The guys that they trotted out in that bullpen yesterday, and I'm trying to punch up the whole pitching stats here again. After Eduardo Rodriguez, your relievers yesterday for the reigning world champions, Colton Brewer, Marcus Walden, Matt Barnes, is it Josh Taylor? Is that his name? Josh or John?
Josh.
I think it's Josh. Ryan Brazier and Stephen Wright. Like, I look at Brewer, Walden, Taylor, even Brazier. Those guys are borderline big leaguers. Borderline big leaguers. Barnes is a big leaguer who's been miscast and run into the ground. Stephen Wright is a, you know, swingman. That's what Stephen Wright is. But on the reigning world champions with a 4-2 lead going into the seventh, that is your bullpen. If you are disgusted by that, you have a right to be. Which brings me to owner John Henry and his comments that he made to Rob Bradford, who works over at WEEI.com, in WEEI for that matter. Okay? But, and good for Rob for getting a hold of Henry. Henry said, and I'll read you 2 comments that stick out in this story if you haven't seen them. Ask for his take on the team. At least I'm presuming that's what the question is. Henry said, my take is that maybe it isn't the best thing in the world to bring back the same team in its entirety every time. You don't want to break a team down, but maybe a few changes wouldn't hurt. But the feeling is always different after you win, comma, apparently. So, like, I look at this comment and I say, again, the key words here, it's not the best thing in the world to bring back the same team in its entirety every time. Every time, meaning we've made this mistake before. This isn't a one-time thing. He's talking about 2013. They didn't change that roster either, and they finished last the next year. And then he says, the feeling is always different after you win, apparently. Apparently. It feels to me like he's calling out Dave Dombrowski for not making more changes to the roster. That he feels like they got complacent. They brought back Eovaldi. They brought back Pierce. It feels to me like John Henry's looking squarely at his president and saying, well, what'd you bring back the same team for? Okay, that's number one. And honestly, I think Henry's right on. That was a mistake. It was a mistake to bring back that roster exactly as it was. They needed to help that bullpen, and they didn't. Instead, they brought back Eovaldi at a ridiculous number, which I said at the time, a ridiculous number. $17 million for that guy. $17 million. And they brought back Steve Pierce, whom I wanted, but in retrospect, at the expense of adding to the bullpen. So now you have Pierce and Eovaldi, the latter of whom is giving them nothing, and you have no relievers. And you're 11 out of the division and 2 out of the second wild card. 2 games out of the second wild card. Don't blink, because you know what? By the end of the week, if they're 4 or 5 out of the second wild card, they may not add to that roster. Which brings me to this. Henry was asked what the team is going to do here going forward. He said, it's a question of how much money do we want to lose? We're already over budget. And we were substantially over our budget last year and this year. We're not going to be looking to add a lot of payroll. And it's hard to imagine fielding a better team. If we play to our capabilities, we'll be fine. That's the question, will we? We're halfway through and we haven't. Now look, we all know they've underachieved. So that's a given. But we're not going to be looking to add a lot of payroll. So this team has major holes in that bullpen. Major holes in the bullpen. If they're not going to add payroll, they're not going to fix the problems. And if they're not going to fix the problems, the question then becomes, are you better off selling? Are you better off selling at that deadline and getting some assets for even, you know, pieces that won't be here next year, like Rick Porcello? Okay, without doing anything major or drastic, meaning J.D. Martinez or Rick Porcello, or I'm sorry, J.D. Martinez or Mookie Betts, at the very least, you move Rick Porcello. That should be an easy one. Bob's in Needham. Go ahead, Bob.
Mass, think about this. Wrap your head around this. The opposing starter, the Yankee starter, went two-thirds of an inning, gave up 6 earned runs, and he had the quality starter of the 2 starters. Because we only got 1 out of our starters. This is a disaster. That you, like you said, you've been right on the money for this. They were complacent. They didn't address the issues in the bullpen. And now, I swear to you, either you sell Mass or you go the other way. You have to put either Wright or I would put Sale or the other guy that you were mentioning, the $17 million guy, in the bullpen, because you have nobody at the back end.
Okay, so you're talking about Eovaldi. They've given us no indication they're going to do that. It sounds like Eovaldi's going to go back in the rotation. But he did raise a good point. Oh, my God, I almost called him Matsuzaka. Tanaka. Masahiro Tanaka for the Yankees. He didn't get out of the first inning either. Did he only pitch the first inning on Saturday, now that I think of it?
Yep.
He didn't make it out of the first either, did he? Neither starter lasted through the first inning. Did Tanaka get pulled in the first? You guys just double-check that? I just, if we could quickly look at that. Yesterday, the starter, Tarpley, the Yankees are going to go with a bullpen game yesterday. But think of that. In the 2-game series, the Yankees got a combined what? 1 2/3 out of their starting pitchers, or something of the like? Something like that? And you couldn't win either game?
Tanaka got 2 outs.
Okay, so he got 2/3 of an inning. Tarpley yesterday was 1. You scored 10 runs in the first inning of those 2 games, and you didn't win either one. Eduardo Rodriguez was the only starter who would have qualified for a win over the weekend, and he ended up getting a no decision because the bullpen blew up. But the offense wasn't the issue. The defense was an issue. Michael Chavis had a tough time over first base. And yesterday, when they got up on the Yankees 4-0 in the second inning, they had 2 chances to turn a double play. They didn't turn either one. Now, the Red Sox are a mess, really. They are an absolute mess.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down, my fair lady.
And to right field. Here comes LeMahieu easily. Judge being held at third, and here come the Yankees in the seventh. Sanchez with a two-strike count comes through into left field. Judge scores. Hicks scores. And the Yankees have taken their first lead of the game.
Oh,
Urshela fights one off and dumps it into left center field. Sanchez scores. Encarnacion right behind him. And it's 7-4 New York.
And he hits a ground ball to first. And it goes right through the legs of Chavis. Chavis flipped. No, he doesn't flip to anyone. Sanchez is safe. LeMahieu scores. It's an E3. And the Yankees have scored 9 in the inning and have an 11-4 lead.
Disaster by that Red Sox bullpen in the seventh inning yesterday. Absolute disaster. And before we get to the particulars, just time for the Rodenheiser Heat Zone. Who's hot? Brought to you by our friends at Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. Really only one choice for the Red Sox. Rafael Devers of late. In the last week, 11 for 22, seven doubles. And I know he had one in his first at bat of the series over the weekend. 500 average, 8 runs, only 1 strikeout, and an OPS of over 1,300. He's your hottest Red Sox. That bullpen, they need solutions. Which brings me to Mike in Dorchester. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Thank you so much for the call. Wondering, I know that obviously they're not expected to go out and get some talent, but how about in Pawtucket? I mean, it's not maybe the solution, but give it a shot, right? Domingo Tapia and Jenry Mejia. Domingo has been doing okay. Jenry Mejia has some major league experience. What are your thoughts about that?
Okay, so it's funny that you brought up the AAA guys because the Red Sox did make a move today, or they're in the process of making a move. I don't know if it's official yet. Mejia, by the way, the guy that you mentioned is the guy from the Mets that got suspended for steroids. So I don't even know how he's performing down there, but I haven't heard anybody mention it. And I know, and you yourself said it's a long shot, and that's the way you should remember it, or you should think of it, rather. So think of the guys they've already brought up. Josh Taylor, Mike Schwerin. I mean, these guys are nobodies. Nobodies that the Red Sox are literally trying to catch lightning in a bottle. Then I see today that the Red Sox have sent Schwerin back down to AAA. And there's a complimentary move coming. One is either Heath Embry is being activated, or Alex Speer of the Globe reports that Trevor Kelly is being called up from AAA. Jimmy Stewart, have you ever heard of Trevor Kelly?
No.
Jim Murray, have you heard of Trevor Kelly?
Of course not.
Okay, me neither, but that doesn't mean anything. Ty Butson, the guy that they traded to the Angels last year in the Ian Kinser deal, has pitched well for the Angels. So, okay, you know, maybe it's one of those guys. So I look up Trevor Kelly, 6'2", 210. He's 25 years old, soon to be 26. And this year at AAA, Trevor Kelly has a 0.96 ERA. In 37 and two-thirds innings, he has 34 strikeouts and 12 walks. His numbers are pretty good. So I say, why the hell isn't this guy here yet? Well, good. I'm happy to see this. They're bringing up Trevor Kelly. Then I looked a little further, and you know what I saw? Trevor Kelly's a sidearmer. He's a trick pitcher. So, or he's what they like to call now a performance guy, which means he doesn't have stuff, but he gets people out through deception and things of the like.
Chad Bradford-like.
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy. It's a good analogy. Chad Bradford, who used to be like submariner, right, almost? So it's that kind of guy. And now look, the Red Sox will take any option you can get at this stage. But Trevor Kelly? I'm not holding my breath on Trevor Kelly either. The numbers are good, but he's a sidearmer. So guys like that, they stay hot for a little while, and then they get their faces ripped off. Typically, and they're not usually guys that you trust in big spots.
Tony, is this guy happen to be any relation to Tony Fossa's sidewinder?
No, he's a right-hander. Jimmy Fossa was a lefty, but, again, my guess is this guy throws, 90 miles an hour. Though he probably has great movement, which is why he dropped out of the side in the first place.
Can't break glass.
I mean, so they don't need one body in that bullpen. They need, two, maybe three, if you want to be really honest. I think their bullpen is that far away. Their bullpen really sucks. I mean, I give them grief in a lot of years for their bullpen being bad, but this one takes the cake. Jacob's in a car. Jacob, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. Listen, real quick. I happen to be a Yankees fan, but I actually appreciate a lot of the Red Sox players. You mentioned earlier about the balls. There's something you feel there might be something with the balls. Let me ask you a question. Two teams playing with the same ball. It ain't the ball. It's the bullpen not being able to close when they have an opportunity.
Jacob, wait a minute. I never said the ball was the reason the Red Sox lost. I said the ball was the reason why there were a lot of runs scored over the weekend. Do you think the Yankees pitch well?
No, they didn't. This is why I'm saying it's the bullpen. Yeah, they could have used beach balls, all right? Let them use those, ping pong balls, something.
Jacob, do you think it's in the interest of Major League Baseball to have offense in those games in London?
Nah, this ain't football.
Okay, forget it. I'm letting you go. You're telling me you think that the games were on the level this weekend? Played with the same equipment, first of all, we know the ballpark dimensions were different. But do you really believe the games were on the level? And when I say on the level, meaning like a standard MLB game? Excuse me. My answer is no. I don't think they were close to being on the level. I'm not telling you that's the reason the Red Sox lost. They're playing with the same baseballs. So there's no excuse there. The only argument is for the offense over the pitching. Was there something about the balls that made it more conducive to offense? And my answer is yes. Now, what was it? I don't know. I don't think it's just about the balls being juiced, because the Yankees only hit one home run yesterday. I think it's about not being able to throw breaking balls. And I think the numbers support that. So the Yankees have a good offense. You put a bunch of guys out there, A, who suck to begin with, and then B, can't throw their curveballs on top of it. And we're talking about Colton Brewer, Barnes, take your pick, Workman, Bray, whoever. The Red Sox have a million guys who throw curveballs. Watch the Red Sox relievers when they come in the game, particularly at a pivotal point. You know what their right-handers do? First pitch, every time, curveball. Every single time. They'll take their chances. Curveball, 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 curveball. It's why they traded for Colton Brewer in that stupid godforsaken spin rate.
Tony, this guy tops out at 88.
Okay, so you're talking about the...
No, I know. Trevor Kelly, I just looked him up. 88 miles an hour, Tony.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I saw that he's a sidearmer. The numbers are good in AAA. I saw that he was a sidearmer. I said, forget this guy. This guy sucks, too. Johnny's in Boston. Johnny, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, two real quick points, and then I'll shut up. One, I think the second wild card is great for baseball and horrible for big market teams like the Red Sox, because they feel compelled to chase a false hope. Two, I think this reliever issue is going to get more complicated for the Red Sox and for a lot of teams. I think it's next year the rule goes into effect that relievers have to face a minimum number of batters. Good relievers are about to get more expensive, and the time to lock down talent would have been last offseason. I'll shut up and listen.
So, Johnny, look, it's a good point, and I don't know. I don't remember when all those rules are going to go into effect. I'd have to look that up again. I know that they put off the pitch clock until the end of this CBA, which is, I think, 2021. I'd have to go back and look. I don't remember if the three-batter minimum goes in next year or not, but it's a good point by you. The bottom line is now you need good pitchers more than ever, because they are going to get more expensive. So the Red Sox may have some money coming off the books this offseason. I would imagine they're going to trade some of these guys. So Pierce is going to come off. That's only $6 million. But you'll also have potentially J.D. Martinez coming off if he opts out. Mookie Betts, if they elect to trade him. Porcello's $20 million will come off the books. Hell, Jackie Bradley could be a candidate to be moved. So I would imagine Devers, Chavis, those guys are all safe. Okay, they're very low-salaried players. The Red Sox have some money coming off, just as they do every year. So, I mean, start with Porcello. Porcello's $20 million right there. And Pierce, that's $26 million. You can get two good relievers for that money. John's in Saugus. John, what do you got?
Yeah, you know, I hate to think that there was something going on, but I absolutely believe that there was something going on, because if they played for 4 hours, a 1-0 game, they would say, how can you complain about soccer being boring in 2 hours? I mean, it was ridiculous. I absolutely believe that both guys were told to just groove it. Just groove it and let it happen.
So, John, I don't think they were told that. Because, again, the Red Sox were 9 games out going into the series. They're not going to go in and say, oh, yeah, let's just hit the Yankees, bash our brains in, and we'll lose. I don't think that was it. But when they built this, and I want to say stadium, and when they built the field, believe me when I tell you, they did all kinds of studies on atmospheric conditions, what the likelihood is of the ball carrying. They put the dimensions small, which, again, that alone should tell you they wanted runs. They wanted home runs. They made the field small. Okay, and they had a lot of foul territory, so I don't know how they could have positioned the diamond. Maybe they could have done it another way to have made the playing surface a little bit bigger, or the playing field a little bit bigger. They didn't. They chose to have 385 feet to dead center. They wanted home runs, okay, which is fine. But this wasn't all about the home runs. Again, the Yankees only hit one home run yesterday. They scored 12 more runs. In Saturday's game alone, there were four half innings in which the team at bat scored 6 runs. The Yankees did it twice, and the Red Sox did it twice. The Yankees batted .376 in the series. The Red Sox walked 9 batters yesterday. If it was all about the ball being juiced and the home runs, we would have seen a lot more home runs. What we saw was a lot of hits. What we saw was difficulty pitching. That's what we saw, which tells me that the grip on the ball or the seams on the ball, whatever it was, something about the ball made it more difficult, or it was so dry that they couldn't grip the ball. Something like that. I wondered on Saturday whether the mound was too low and the ball was coming in flatter and easier to hit. I wondered that, and I wouldn't put that past MLB either.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.